It's good to be together again in all these ways. And sometimes we have these ideas like, okay, well, chapel and God time is a serious time. But God has been present with us all week and all day. And we remind ourselves of that in some ways when we're gathered together, but we can think of him as we're having fun. We can recognize his goodness as we eat good food and notice the generosity of people that have been serving us. There's so many blessings to count. As Mike was sharing with us this morning, the older son didn't recognize that he was in the presence of his father the whole time and kind of missed out on living into his sonship, into his role as a member of his father's family. I read to you this morning from Psalm 103, where it says, "O my soul, bless God, don't forget a single blessing." I'm going to continue to read from here as I do. Listen, receive the words, close your eyes, picture whatever comes to your mind, and prepare your heart to offer yourself to God tonight. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened up his plans to all Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. As far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out, keeps us in mind that we're made out of mud. Men and women don't live very long. Like wildflowers, they spring up and blossom, but a storm snuffs them out just as quickly, leaving nothing to show they were here. God's love, though, is ever and always eternally present to all who fear him, making everything right for them and their children as they follow his covenant ways and remember to do whatever he said. God has set his throne in heaven. He rules over us all. He's the king. So bless God, you angels, ready and able to fly at his bidding, quick to hear and do what he says. Bless God, all you armies of angels, alert to respond to whatever he wills. Bless God, all creatures, wherever you are, everything and everyone made by God. And you, oh my soul, bless God. And so that call out to all creation, and even in this moment, to your own soul, to bless God, to recognize his goodness to us. Please rise as we welcome our music team to lead us in song.
Troubled sea.
to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. Safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will.
Your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love awakens, awakens me, your love. Hey, before you sit down, I want you to do two things. Everyone say two things. Number one, I want you to high-five three people and tell them the highlight of your day. Go for it. High-five three people and tell them the highlight of your day. Please.
That's a highlight for me, too. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so I promise, for whatever reason, to give three people a quick shout out. Why? Because I know they told me to, and they were talking to me, and they're, you know. Alina, Ava, and Michaela. Now, I heard a rumor that Michaela may have punched some one of those two in the face. And if you want to guess which one it is, feel free to do that. It was an accidental thing. Anyway, check this out. I'm going to pray, and then we'll do what we did. We'll do a quick recap, three questions, then we have Judah coming in to do his testimony. Cool? Sorry. Father God, here we are again for an awesome. We all had an awesome day. We all just shared some highlight with one person, two people, three people, I don't know. But thank you that we have highlights. And those are blessings. Those are things we can still take for granted sometimes. Maybe we come to camp a few years in a row. It's easy to lose sight of all of these awesome things that we've been blessed with. So thank you even just in that one moment, high-fiving someone, saying this is a highlight that teaches us to open our eyes and not take things for granted and not to miss what you're doing all around us. As we continue on, Lord, just give me a little wisdom with these questions, and we pray for Judah as he comes up in a few minutes, as he speaks from his heart, and he kind of brings his message home tonight. Speak to all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, real quick, in like 2 minutes, a quick recap. Today, we looked at Luke 15, verse 21 to 31. And we see the son, he's coming home. And the father, at this point, he's already run out. We talked about that yesterday. And after the father hugs him, after the father accepts him, no matter what the son did, then the son goes on to his big speech, starts saying, well, listen, I sinned against you. I sinned against the heaven. And he starts basically repenting and wanting a forgiveness. And he's trying to make everything right. And the father's response wasn't like, okay, let's talk about A, B, and C, all the things he did wrong. The father's response is, go get him a robe. And give him a ring, and give him sandal, and show the community he's a part of my family. He's my son. He is with me. And I'm accepting him. Again, that unconditional love, we are showing that. But this is where the story, again, it continues to shift. And now we start focusing on the oldest son. And he gets upset. He gets upset because what happened that the youngest son, there was a big party thrown for him. And they're celebrating that he was lost, but now he's found. He's home. And he starts getting mad at his father. He's like, listen, like he went through his wild living. He did A, B, and C, all these terrible things. He rejected you, and you're giving him like the best piece of meat that we have, this big giant cow. You haven't even given me a goat. And he's complaining and complaining and complaining, essentially. And the father quickly reminds him, he's like, son, like, look around you. Everything I have, it's yours. And we see that this oldest son, he missed it because he kind of grew up around the father. And it's very easy in our culture sometimes. Maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe you are raised around Jesus. You're raised around Christianity. And it's so easy maybe to lose sight of the bigger picture and miss all these things that are happening around us. And maybe we take them for granted. We talk about the idea, this oldest son, he lost compassion. He couldn't care less about his brother being home. It happens. He lost the relationship part with his father because he kept justifying, like, I never disobeyed you. I did everything right. It was like kind of legalistic kind of mindset. And sometimes we can kind of grow up in the church and think our relationship with God is based on doing everything right. But sometimes when we keep doing everything right, we maybe miss the relationship part and just focus on the big to-do list. He missed it. And he missed the blessings. He missed everything that was happening around him. And I can be honest, I say this over and over. I feel like almost every talk I've given this week, I've identified this story in some way, shape, or form in my life, in some seasons of my life, or maybe even right now in my life. So as we talk about that, here are three quick questions that you guys ask today. Number one, 1, 2, 3, ready, read. Louder. So why wouldn't the brother get mad? And I know on a surface level, I guess I see where they're coming from. And this is a common response when people hear this story. The brother's obviously upset that his son who disobeyed his father, his brother who disobeyed, is now having this big, giant party and celebration. Basically, he did everything wrong. It's like, we're celebrating that? And on a surface level, we can say, look, that doesn't really make sense. On a deeper level, why wouldn't you celebrate someone coming back to the Father? Let's translate that. Why wouldn't you celebrate someone coming to Christ? No matter how far down that pathway they went, why wouldn't we celebrate? Why would we get mad about that? So I can understand on a surface level why you might think he should get mad, but if you look at it from your own life, if you had a sibling who was really far off and lived that lifestyle and came back, my hope is you have love towards him. And instead, he obeyed yet received a lower reward. I think that kind of reflects our culture a little bit, because we're very like focused just on the moment. And yes, in that moment, we can say, sure, the son got his fattened calf. And he's saying, I didn't even get a goat. But we missed the big picture. A lower reward. He was the oldest son. He's getting double the portion of the inheritance. He's getting much more than that younger son had. How did we lose that part of the story? That's a much bigger reward than a nice dinner. He was taken care of. He was fed every single day. He had a relationship with his father. He had a job, essentially. He had all these different things. On the other end as well, sure, maybe he had a different reward and maybe didn't get that calf, but listen, he was still in a better place because he didn't experience all that other stuff that came from the downfall of the culture in the world. So on a temporary moment, kind of like small focus, sure, we can look at the calf, but in the big picture, I think he was more blessed than the young one in some way, shapes, and forms. Number two. 1, 2, 3, ready, read. How can he be more compassionate? I'll be really short on this one. The Bible is very clear. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so sometimes we look at the love your neighbor first, but we forget the as yourself part. So ask yourself, like, how would I want people to treat me? How would I want people to show me love? How would I want people to show me grace? How would I want people to respond if I were in those shoes? And I think sometimes when we start looking at ourselves and how we would prefer to be treated, and then all of a sudden we start treating others that same way, I think that's a big way to show compassion. I said, love your neighbor. The Bible says, you know, if we walk with God, if we obey God, we begin to reflect the character of God. And we reflect that love and that gentleness and that kindness. And that should overflow in your life and be a big part of who you are. And that's one of the beautiful parts about walking with God and walking in his obedience and his word and being intentional about following his way of life. How can you be more compassionate? Learn how to empathize with people. Learn how to listen to people. Like, when was the last time you actually sat down and truly listened to someone who was hurting or broken or had a deep prayer request? Did you start getting in those shoes and start connecting with that hurt and that pain that maybe they're going through? And sometimes that compassion can't help but just pour out as you feel for that person. And that can simply come from just listening to one another. But there's many, 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 many ways. But I think the more we're filled up with the love of God, the more we can share the love of God. Cool? One more, and then we'll bring Judah up. Okay, why? Oh, you guys can read. One, two, three, ready, read. Why is it so easy to miss God's blessings? Well, I think it's very easy to simply just take it for granted. And let's just be honest here. Here we are. We live in Canada. And most of you guys here live in the Vancouver area, you know, one of the most expensive cities in the world. Well, that's one of the most expensive cities in Canada for sure to live. And here I am coming from the Toronto, which is also like one of the most expensive cities in the world and one of the most expensive cities. And I think there's so many things that we take for granted. Clean water. Healthcare. Education. Food. Clothes. And for all of us sitting here, we're like, yeah, like that's normal, Mike. But the reality is that's not normal. If you jump on an airplane, you can go to many places in this world where that is not a normal thing. We've seen the scripture where Jesus talks about not to worry. Not to worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and all that sort of stuff. Well, in that culture, that was a worry. That wasn't just something that related for people who just lived 2,000 years ago. It's still a worry for people here and now. And if people in this world, if they get a cup of rice, that's a good day. And they would say, I am so blessed. They get clean water. I am so blessed. Maybe a missionary, someone goes and visits them and brings them a toy or like spend time with them. They are so blessed. And I think sometimes because maybe we have a lot, and we do, we can miss out on all these different things because we just think it's normal. That's just me. Sometimes when we grow up in the church or things that we see, maybe we get used to maybe God answering prayer. We just think, oh, that's normal. We forget that it's a blessing that we have something here like a camp that we can go to every year. It becomes normal. No, this is a blessing. The fact that you're here is a blessing. The fact that you had money to come here is a blessing. There's so many different things. So how can we focus on the good? Let's open your eyes. Maybe literally, maybe pull out like a piece of paper, pull out your phone, and start writing these things down. When something good happens in your day, write it, share it, text it to someone. In those moments, something good happens to you in a day where it opens up your eyes and you realize you're blessed, just say, Lord, thank you on that spot. And if we start having that heart of gratitude, I think we're going to start opening our eyes and start realizing every single day there's so many things that God has done in our life, is doing in our life, is providing for us. But don't take these things for granted. It's a blessing. We talked about a blessing last year. Is anyone here last year? A blessing is ultimately anything that brings you closer to God. In reality, I think we live in a culture where maybe having all these big toys and all this good money and nice houses and security, which we label as a blessing, sometimes that can actually draw us further away from God. And I think we've seen that with the culture. It's one of the hardest cultures to reach people for Christ because their mindset is, well, I have everything. That's a whole different conversation. So here's what I want you to do before we invite Judah up. I want you to turn to someone right now. How can we focus on the good? Tell them one awesome thing that you feel God has done in your life this week. Something that you're thankful for. Something that you're like, this is awesome. This is a God thing. Turn to someone around you and just take maybe 1.5 minutes and do that. And then we'll transition. Cool? Tell them something you're thankful for. Something that's like, this is awesome. This is a God thing. I see this. I don't want to take this for granted. One more minute.
What? No, don't. Wait, stop it!
I'm gonna crap my pants. That's awesome. Are you kidding? What, you're not kidding? Apparently there's a mouse that ran by over there. Anyways, that's awesome. Where's Judah? Where is he? Give him a hand. Everyone give Judah a hand. If I jump in your arms, it means, like, I'm scared. hold me. Cuddle me. Anyways, awkward. Hey, a couple things. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then we're going to hand it over to you. You can, like, you know, share something awesome with them. Cool? Real simple question. I don't know. Maybe someone here can't read. What's your name?
Judah.
Oh, I guess we could have had a second mic. That would have been smart if I planned this better. Okay, here we go. Can you throw a mic down? Can we try doing this? Okay, let's do this. Sorry, guys, my fault. I can't multitask, that's my problem. Oh, boy. There you go.
Hello?
Hi. What's wrong with me? Okay, here we go. So, your name. Now, here we've been asking questions every morning. Random questions. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I didn't tell you I'm going to do this. What is the worst thing you've ever done?
Holy boy.
What did you share with someone beside you a couple days ago? Just say it. Oh, boy. Okay. Okay, maybe a different question. What's the craziest, wildest, most adventurous thing you've ever done? What, getting worse? Okay, what's your favorite color?
My favorite color is like orange, like a sunset orange, but the a bit lighter, a bit lighter than that. But the craziest thing I probably ever did is I went to Big White for about 5 days, and I was with this. I was doing a special like freestyle skiing program with like a one-on-one training, and we decided it would be really fun to go ski like a back bowl together. So what we did is we did like a 20-minute hike like up the mountain, and then we skied across like this ridge. We had about 20 feet like wide to ski on, and like on our left side was like off zone, and it was like 100-foot drop, and it was like really windy. It was like really scary. Like you couldn't see anything up top. So it was just like you were just skiing, and like every like 20 feet or so, you just like fall down. So then we skied off to like this really like far back bowl, and then we hiked up for another half an hour, and then I skied down like this double black like diamond, which was like really fun. So I guess that was the craziest thing I've ever done. And I was like really spooky because I created like this little avalanche that was falling behind me, and I was like I was kind of spooked because it was just like, you'd like look behind you and just a whole bunch of snow coming behind you, but you, like, you couldn't look back because you had to look forward because there's like trees and everything in your way. So that's probably the craziest thing.
Yeah. Awesome. That's a great. Thank you. Thank you. What has been your favorite meal so far this week?
Grilled cheese.
Anyone? Yeah. Okay. Who's your favorite camper? You got to give a politician answer. All of them. The answer is all of them.
All of them. All of them are my favorite.
I love it. One more question before maybe you share, you know, what you want to share with us tonight. How long have you been coming to this camp, and why do you keep coming back?
I've been coming to camp for about 9 years now, if not including the times I camped with my parents when I was younger. But yeah, for 9 years. And the reason I keep coming back is I just really love it here. You know, I feel like I can be like really open and like be myself, and like back at home, like I feel like kind of self-conscious about like worshiping and like just being open like that. Like whenever I'm here, I just feel like I can just like let out all of that, like that emotion. And I just like, I feel very like free. So that's why like I keep coming back.
Good job. Good job. Okay. So you have something awesome to share with these young people, right? You guys have something awesome to hear. Okay. So here we go. I'm going to pass it over to you and do your thing. And then, yeah, have fun, okay?
Sounds good.
Give him a hand. Again, you can share some cool stuff.
So basically, I'm just going to share my quick testimony. Quick background for me. I was born as a, I was a happy accident, as you would say. My parents wanted to be like missionaries, and then I just like came along, and like that kind of happened. And they were like on doing some missions trips and stuff like that. So when I was like ages 1 to 2, my parents were traveling around Europe with me, and I guess that was kind of fun. Then we moved back home because that was like a real hassle. Like I wouldn't listen at all, and they were just like, "We can't deal with this child. Let's just move." So yeah, that happened. Then we moved out to Wally, which is a great place to have a first child because our house is only broken into like every other week. So, yeah. So, my whole life, my dad went to Pacific Academy, so my parents decided to send me there. And because we lived in Wally, it was like a 20-minute drive every morning. So my parents really didn't like that. So then we moved out to Surrey, and I've been living in Surrey for about 8 years. And I've been going to a Christian school like my whole life. And I just graduated this year, so I've been going to the school my whole life. It was a great Christian community. My parents were very, very Christian, very loving, like very welcoming to me. So I guess I grew up in a very like Christian community. My parents were like great Christians. We go to church like every Sunday. I go to youth group, and I just do all like these basic things, like just like go to church, youth group, these things. And then I kind of just like rolled with it. I didn't feel like there's anything wrong with this, just going to church, you know, things like this. But it's recently I didn't realize back then that I wasn't really living God through my own faith, but through kind of like my parents' faith, as you would say. And then so I didn't really have a turning point in my life until I was about I was 13 years old, and somebody who was really close with them was my grandmother. I had a very good relationship with her. I'd spend every Friday with her. She was a great Christian role model in my life. And now I look back on it, she was like one of the greatest influences me like ever. And I lived to be like her. And her passing was a really big impact on me. I was like very close with her. You know, it was just a really emotional time for me. I was like 12 years old. The person I would spend the most time with besides my parents, you know, passing away very suddenly. She was sick, and then a month later she passed away. And there's times in there as a little 12-year-old, and I was just like, oh, she's gonna get better, because there was signs that she was gonna get better. And I was like so happy. I was always talking to her parents, are we gonna take care of her when she gets better? And they were saying, yeah, she's gonna get better. But then she suddenly passed, and it really hit me hard because I was really close to her, and I wasn't really expecting anything like that. And I was always questioning God, you know, just like, it was like that turning point in my life, I would say, where I was questioning God all the time. I was like really like kind of like struggling in my faith, I would say. It was just a really hard time for me. I was like kind of straying away from God, but I was getting a better connection with him, because I'd spend hours a night just crying because of how much I missed her. And it was just like a really terrible time. It was like a period of almost a year where I was like every other night I would just be in tears because of like how much I missed her, and I was just like questioning reading my Bible, and it was just like it was a very emotional time for me, and I guess you could say that was like my turning point in my life for like my walk with like Christ, because I'd spend so much time going to church before that but not really thinking about actually following Christ in that way. And then it took that point in my life where I was straying away from God, because even as like a 12-year-old, you know, I was just like, I lost this person, and I was really questioning God, like, why did this happen? Like, she was so close to me, like, I would spend so much time with her, it was like such a big impact for me. I just really didn't know like how to handle or do anything. I was like really questioning God, and it was like really bad for me. And then as the years go by, I would keep praying and questioning God, like, why did this happen? And then at the time, God didn't really give me an answer right away, because he knew I wasn't prepared to have that answer. And I look back on it now, I'm just like, I'm glad God didn't give me the answer, because I knew I wouldn't be able to handle it. And as I'm getting older, he's slowly revealing the answer to me, like why she passed. That passing really brought me closer to God, I would say. I would spend more time reading my Bible, actually getting into the Word, actually getting stuff out of it. Unlike before, I would just read my Bible, I guess you would say, because, you know, that's what just like a Christian did, just read their Bible because, you know, that's just what you do. But it took that big thing in my life to actually make me start reading the Bible for like a purpose and like a reason. There's like finally a reason why I would actually like dive into the scripture. I'd wake up in the mornings, I would open my Bible, I would pray, I'd read, I would journal, I would really get into it. And it was a really big impact on me, because it really brought me a stronger connection, a more personal connection with God. It was less of my parents' faith impacting me at that point and my own faith that was coming out, and I was beginning to develop a stronger connection with God. And even though her passing was 5 years ago now, I'm still questioning and asking God, like, why did these things, why did this terrible thing like happen to like me in my life, even though I never struggled with any of these like those big things like drugs or alcohol, you know, as like a child, just like one thing like a grandparent passing or a loved one or like a divorce or anything can really bring you like a closer personal connection with God. And even, yeah, like I said, it happened 5 years ago. Even I still find myself some nights just in tears, like crying and just like still questioning God in a way, like, okay, why did this happen? And there's like a big thing that happened that I was like really close to her, and there's a really emotional time. And As I'm getting this deeper connection with God, I feel like I'm spending more time on a personal level. And like I said, I would always go to youth group when I was younger, but it was kind of my parents making me go to youth group. When I got my N, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to youth group because I want to be surrounded with people who can help me through this. I had a really good youth leader that I kind of opened up to, and he was the one who also really helped me through this time. He was able to help me, guide me through it, and I feel like that really helped being able to open up, because I would keep my emotions deep down and locked inside, because I felt like nobody could really help me with it. But as soon as I opened up and I started giving him like this information, he was actually really able to help me. And I feel like I wish earlier I really opened up and really let out my emotions beforehand, because it wasn't good for me to keep this all locked down inside, because I couldn't handle it on my own. And it was like such a hard time for me. And then once I opened up, it was a really good feeling, and it was really good to let God like help me. And like one of the scriptures that I would read all the time was actually Psalms 116 verses 1-9. And it says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me, the anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, you saved me. Return to rest my soul, for the Lord has been good to me. For you, Lord, you have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Like, when it first happened and I was first in tears, you know, I never really felt like God was listening to me, because I never really felt like an answer like at first. But I would keep reading this verse, and I'd read it over and over and over again until I finally like I stopped crying, because it's very true. The Lord does bring me from my sorrow, that even though the anguish of the grave did come over me, he released me from that. And I still struggle with it now, still questioning God. And I just keep reading this verse over and over again. It's really helped me. It's really helped me like get through it and everything. And yeah, it's just, I may have walked away from God, you could say, for a little while, but just I just needed God to be in my life, because that was the only way that I could really overcome that pain that I just felt, like that deep down emotion, that just the sadness. And I soon realized, you know what, it's kind of like a time where I kind of need to let it go, because I know that deep down inside it's not good to keep it locked up and to keep it on you, that you need to realize that God does really have like a plan for my life, and things do happen for a reason. So I've really, over time, you know, I'm beginning to realize, you know, her passing, you know, was a big thing. I'm still questioning why this is happening, but there was a reason. There was a reason for her passing. It was so that I could develop a greater and personal connection with God, because she was such a good Christian in my life. She was always leading me to be a better person, you know, always correcting my behavior. And I'm realizing now that with her passing, that was probably the biggest, or that point was the biggest spark that she probably could have left on me, was that, you know what, this will bring you closest to God in a way. And I've started to slowly realize God has been releasing me that answer. And I just really feel like, you know, God is always listening to me, even though when I don't feel like he's listening to me and I just feel like he's not there, he always is, and he's always listening to me. And I just take that to heart, and I realize, you know what, God is up there. He will answer my prayers. He will tell me the reason, like, why this happened. You know, it may not be right away. He may give it to me slowly over time. You know, I may not even get the answer until I pass and I go to heaven, but I know that God is always listening. He always does give me an answer. And I may ask these questions over and over and over again, and the answer may be no, because he knows that I am not ready for these answers, but he knows that in time I will mature and I'll become stronger in my faith, and I will finally know, like, why these things happen. And I know that I just need to read my Bible. I need to pray. I need to keep asking questions. You know, there's just so much that I need to give off and give to God. And especially when I'm feeling really emotional, I just need to pray and let it all out. I can't keep it down. I felt like crying as a boy, or at that time was like, that's not something a boy would do, but I need to realize I need to get that out. I need to release all of this emotion, because I can't keep it locked up and God can take it. And it took me such a long time to actually realize this, and I wish I realized it earlier. And I just know that God is always listening to me, and I just feel like over time he'll keep releasing me that answer. And it's come to a point where just recently, I know I was talking with my aunt about how I should share my story, and I feel like that really helped me. She really helped me at that point. That also was a really big turning point. And you know, I just feel like God, even though you may feel like you have these big questions for God in life, like, why did these things happen? He will always, like, give you an answer. There'll always be a reason for it. And if you're wondering, God, why aren't you giving me the answer? You need to know that he is giving you an answer. It's just not the answer you want. And I've learned to accept that. And I just feel like that is such a big thing. We all have questions that we're asking. We just need to, we know that God is always listening, and that he's always there. And he's just, like, he's always there, like, all the time. And yeah, so that's like kind of like my story. So yeah.
Awesome, thanks, bud. Give him a hand. I appreciate it. Cool. I love that scripture. You can grab a seat, and maybe we'll call the worship team back up. Thank you again, man. Give him a hand one more time. And it's so easy to kind of be raised around this, and you're raised around the truth. You know who God is, but sometimes even a circumstance in your life can kind of change it all. I love that scripture that was thrown up there. He's been good to us. And again, I love that image. Like, he is good. He loves you. And we're going to have the worship team come up. And then after that, we're going to, maybe if you want to hang out, you know, for some prayer, we're going to open that up. And Linda will play a little part in leading that. But maybe you want to sit down, like, after, or maybe kind of focus on, like, how good God is. And maybe focus on, like, the blessing. Maybe be thankful. Maybe just open your eyes. And maybe we've been focusing on maybe one thing in our life. Maybe we have missed a bigger story and a bigger picture. And you might realize when you open your eyes, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, maybe you're over there, maybe you're over here, but I think we can look at your life, every single one of us, and realize, man, God has been good to me. I'm going to pray. And we'll let these guys lead us. Lord, you are good. You are love. You are with us. And it's so easy to forget that. It's so easy to be like that oldest son and maybe just always around it and never really take hold of it. So help us. Help us understand. Help us know this, but not just know it on like a head kind of intellectual kind of way, but know it in our heart like that experience type way. Show us how to have compassion for people. Show us how to make this a relationship, not just a religion about a bunch of rules. That's not what it's all about. Teach us how to open our eyes and understand that you've been here all along. You've been with us all along. And maybe this is a moment tonight where our eyes are open to a point where we realize you do love us. You are God and you are our Father, which we'll look at tomorrow, Lord. So remind us of that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. We could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name of all. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Your heart and need me in your love.
Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow.
Resurrecting me by your
that is a that is an amazing declaration. And to be resurrected, you first die. And in Christ, who gave himself even to the point of death, by the power of the Spirit, was raised to life again and lives. And that same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead raises us. And there may be things you need to hand over and say, I need to let this die. Or these ashes are too much for me to still carry. And this loss is too heavy. And so as we continue singing tonight and declare how wonderful and beautiful and powerful is the name of Jesus, ask him what he wants you to give to him. What you what he wants to take from you, what he wants to resurrect in you, and offer yourself to him. So Jesus, as we lift up your name and all that you are, the one who sees us and the one who knows us and the one who created us, the one who by the power of the Holy Spirit raises us to new life, work in us in power to open our hearts and our hands, our all of our life experience, to meet you, living Christ, here in this place. As we continue to sing, take a posture, whether it's to sit and reflect or to stand, to kneel, to lift your hands, whatever you want to offer, however you want to offer yourself to Jesus, do so. As we close with this song.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name. The name of Jesus Christ. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
As we start to close our second to last night here, I welcome you to take time to respond. Jesus is so gentle, and I don't want to have any special tactics to manipulate anyone, because that's not what he's about. If you desire to pray with someone here in the chapel, if there's something on your heart, and you want to encounter Jesus in a different way, please remain quietly and keep this place as a room for prayer and ministry. Also, it's wonderful for you to go back to your cabin and quietly get ready for bed. And so if you sense God stirring in you, and you're like, oh, I'd just rather leave, I challenge you to ask someone to pray and see what happens. But of course, also, if you're ready to close the day, then feel free to be on your way. Let me bless you in prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for giving us this day our daily bread, and for giving us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So you're dismissed to leave and do so quietly. And you're welcome to stay and do so quietly. Thank you.